what we started last week, Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, going to start in verse 10 and read through verse 16 today. Last week we looked at 1 through 9. It's a passage where he is sending out 70 of his disciples, sending them out to work and also to take the message to towns that he will be coming to or has the opportunity to come through. Starting in chapter 10, verse 10, it says, "But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you.' Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the miracles that had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. But it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. The one who listens to you listens to me, and the one who rejects you rejects me, and he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father God, thank you so much for the truth of your word. Thank you, Lord, for the message that you sent with these 70 disciples, Father, and the message that we have today, the message of truth. Message of truth that it involves your truth, not our truth, your truth. Father, help us to stay pure to your truth. Help us to stay true to your word. We love you. Through Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Luke here is recounting through the ministry of Jesus. At this point, he's probably 6 months until the time when he is crucified. So Jesus here has gone through his life. Luke has recounted all of this, the choosing of the 12 and all that he's done. But now he has a huge following. And he has already talked to them, to the people, about pride, because the disciples were mixed up with that great debate with who would be the greatest or who is the greatest in the coming kingdom. And he showed them that this child, he brought a child before him, said, "You want to be great? Be like the child. Be trusting. Be dependent upon me." In the next instance, we have mercy triumphing. The fact that mercy triumphs over pride, because they wanted to call down fire from heaven to the Samaritan village because they wouldn't accept them just because they were Jews. And yet mercy triumphed over pride. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But then he goes on and talks about the cost of discipleship. The three instances where the men weren't really desiring a hard discipleship. They wanted a convenient discipleship, not a committed discipleship. And yet there were 70 that he could choose to send out. And that's what he did last week. It's what we talked about. And he tells the 70, it's amazing because he tells the 70 that he's sending, he says, "Pray to the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Now, you guys go. You guys that are praying that the laborers will come, you go. And you do the work that I have in mind for you." So he sends them out. And he tells them what they're to tell the people and how they are to go trusting Jesus. But we get to verse 10 and we have the negative side. So before we had the kind of the positive side, what to do when the people are there, when they accept you. He sent the 70 out for a specific purpose. And it wasn't a long time. It was probably a week, maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. But he sent them out for a specific purpose to go to each village ahead of him and to proclaim that he is coming and to see if there's going to be a reception. Excuse me. To see what the reception would be. Whether it would be to accept him, even though he had a huge crowd following him. So, I mean, what we looked at last week is, why would you not want Jesus to come? I mean, he could heal people. He could raise the dead. And yet these 70 that he sent out were doing the same thing. They were healing people. They were casting out demons. So they had that power given to them. But he sent them ahead to see where he would be received at, or where he would be welcome at. So they would go to the house and proclaim what they were doing there. And if there was a man of peace there, they would say, come in. And they would just stay there and trust God in what they were doing. So they were preparing the way, you could say. So we looked at the positive aspect last week. What we're going to look at today is the negative aspect. Verse 10. But whatever city you enter and they do not receive you, go out into its streets and say, even the dust of your city, which clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this, that the kingdom of God has come near. So what we're looking at first is the rejection in this rejection judgment is the fact of rejection. The fact of rejection. These are the cities that they went in, they went to some houses, and it was a concerted effort. And you notice it said that to go to a house and to proclaim what you're doing there and see if they'll accept you. They didn't just go to one house in the city and were rejected by one house or one family. There was a concerted effort of the whole city saying, you know what, we don't really want this many people in town. We don't really want Christ to come or Jesus to come. They didn't call him Christ. Christ meant the Messiah. We don't really want them to come because of the logistics, because of the economy, whatever it was, or just because we don't like the message that he's proclaiming. Whatever it was, they didn't want him to come. It was an effort of the city. It says, whoever does not receive you, verse 10, whatever city you enter, do not receive you. Go out into the streets. When he says go out into the streets, he means go out into the middle of town. Go out into the wide area where people are going to see you, where the whole city can recognize you, to the public area. In every city, there was a square, there was a public place where the king would send somebody to announce something, and everybody would recognize that. But he says, if that city says or does not receive you. Now, the reason that they're not receiving him, according to verse 16, is because of the message. All right, and we'll get to that. But it's because of the message they had. It wasn't because they were too tall or too short or too whatever. They didn't dress right or whatever. It's not talking about the messenger. It was because of the message that they had, the message about Christ. If you get down to verse 16, it says, the one who listens to you listens to me. All right, so it was the message, the one who is listening. So he says, those who reject this message, who reject you because of this message, go out into the street and make this announcement. He says, say this. When he says say this, it's an imperative. The word say means speak or give meaning to or explain. He says, explain this to the folks. Give meaning to what you are saying. Shake the dust off of your feet. Now, the dust was a horrible thing in that region. It was an irritant. It was everywhere. You couldn't get away from it. But the dust was part of their region, and they understood that's part of us. That's just part of who they were. But they did that in protest. When they shook the dust off of their shoes, they shook it off the bottom of their robe. It was in protest to the city. Now, people would do that in protest, so they knew what that meant. But why? Why protest? Well, to show their response to the rejection of what they had to offer. Because look what it says in verse 11. Even the dust of the city which clings to your feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet be sure of this. The word sure is that word gnosko. It's a word that means I know. A growing type knowledge. He says, know this. You need to know this, or you need to grow in your understanding or your comprehension of this. So even this, even what these men were doing, they weren't condemning the city. They were trying to get the city, the people of the city, to recognize that, you know what, you're not catching the importance of this. Yes, it's true, there are thousands of people following Christ. Yes, it's true, there are logistic problems and all of that. Yes, it's true, he is opposed by the Pharisees. He's opposed by the religious system. But know this. Recognize this. Grow in your understanding of this. Look at what he said to grow in your understanding of. Yet be sure of this, grow in this, that the kingdom of God has come near. The kingdom of God, which is what Israel has looked for thousands of years. They've been wanting it to come for thousands of years. He said, it has come near. And the word come near means approach or in proximity to. The kingdom of God is in proximity to you, and it's in the perfect tense. Which means the kingdom of, he's saying, look, tell this city, tell the people of the city that what they've looked for is complete and whole and is available to them, and it's close to them, in proximity to them. Because what they're rejecting isn't you, but what they're rejecting is the message that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, which is what John the Baptist preached, which is what Jesus was preaching, which is what he told the 12 disciples to preach when they went out, which is what he told these disciples to preach when they went out. That message that the kingdom of heaven was at hand. Again, they took it to be a physical kingdom. They didn't recognize the spiritual nature of the kingdom. They didn't have all of the answers. And yet, they were given truth to go and give out. But they were rejected, not because of themselves, but because of the message. And what the 70 was to show, that they went out two by two to each city. But they were that the cities were not a part of the kingdom. They were missing the chance to learn about it. They were missing the chance to see its power. So that's the fact of rejection. Look at the future of rejection. Look at verse 12. The future of rejection. I say to you, it will be more tolerable in that day for Sodom than for that city. All right, so this is the future of total rejection of Christ. He says, I say to you. Now, this is Christ telling the disciples, those 70 that he sent out. This is not the disciples telling the city. This is Christ telling the disciples because he wants them to catch the compassion that he has for people. Right? We looked at that last week. The fact that we don't normally have compassion, but yet Christ did, and he wants them to catch that. But he said, I say to you, it'll be more tolerable. And the word more tolerable, we're going to see that word again, is more bearable or more endurable. More tolerable for Sodom in that day for Sodom than for that city. And in that day refers down to verse 14, where it says it will be more tolerable, same thing, for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. So that day is the judgment that is coming. Now, isn't it ironic that Jesus himself is telling these disciples that, and who, according to Revelation, is going to be the judge at the great white throne? Jesus himself. So Christ knows something about this judgment that is coming. In fact, he knows exactly what it will be like. And he says, look, it's going to be more tolerable than for Sodom than for whatever city you're talking about that's rejected the message that has come. More tolerable for Sodom. Now, think about this, because if you remember back Sodom and Gomorrah, remember that whole incident with Lot? And Lot, Jesus, or God came to Lot and said, look, you need to get out of there because I'm going to destroy the city. Lot's going, wait a second, you know, no, he didn't come to Lot, he came to Abraham, didn't he? Said, look, if there's 50 people, just 50 people that are good, that believe in you, you're not going to destroy it, are you? Oh, no, okay. Well, what about 40? What about, gets all the way down to 10. God says, okay, you find 10 righteous people there. I mean, you got Lot and his family. You got to find 10 righteous people there, and I won't destroy the city. Couldn't even find 10 righteous people there. So the Jews understood this Gentile city, which back then they were all Gentile cities. But he understood this Gentile city was evil and wicked, and God was punishing that evil and that wickedness. And they looked at that as being the most horrid thing. So Sodom, and then if you look down at Tyre and Sidon, same thing. They were terribly evil cities, completely evil, Gentile cities, and they were judged by God. So here is Sodom, which fire was rained down upon. Here's Tyre and Sidon, which were both judged by God. According to Isaiah and according to Ezekiel, Tyre and Sidon were horrible cities. They were rich cities. They had massively abundance of wealth. The kings used them. The princes would use those cities to trade. They were very important cities. And yet they were wicked, terribly wicked. And God made an example there. And so the Jews, the Jewish nation, would look back and say, oh, those guys were horrible. So they just deserve hell. They deserve torment. They deserve what they got. And yet here he says, this city, which was a Jewish city, whatever cities they were entering would have been Jewish. This city is going to have a harder time in the judgment than those cities. Now why? Because Sodom was horrible. Sidon and Tyre, they were horrible. The Jews would have said, you know, those guys are terrible. But look, well, keep going. Look at verse 13. Woe to you, Chorazin. Woe to you, Bethsaida. These are two more cities. And woe means disaster or horror. So he's saying, disaster to you, horror to you. This is Jesus speaking here. He's speaking about these cities. And these two cities were right by Capernaum. Capernaum was his adopted home region, hometown. All right? It was in the region of Galilee. It's where he spent probably the first couple years of his ministry. So he was there around Galilee. But he was in Capernaum a lot. But he was also in these two other towns, Bethsaida and Chorazin. These towns were almost like suburbs of Capernaum. They were right on the outskirts. All of them were on the lake, Sea of Galilee, the sea. All of them were right on the shore. But these two were outside of Capernaum. But they were privileged to see the power of God. They were privileged to see the ministry of Christ. So he says, look, woe to you, you two cities. For if the miracles had been performed in Tyre and Sidon, which occurred in you, they would have repented long ago, sitting in sackcloth and ashes. You know, both of these cities were involved extensively with Christ's ministry. They had the truth right before them. Tyre and Sidon, they were clear back in the Old Testament. They didn't have Christ in their city. They didn't have the power working. Look what it says there in 13. For if the miracles had been performed, the word miracle literally is dunamos. It's that word we get our word dynamite from. The power of God, that huge explosive power. They didn't have that. You guys did. You two cities did. So you had the truth and you rejected the truth. These guys didn't even have Christ walking among them doing these miracles. If they would have, Jesus here said, a long time ago, they would have repented. Tyre and Sidon, both of them were Gentile cities. Both of them were condemned by God. Both were destroyed by God. Both had pride in their riches. Both very beautiful cities. And if you look in Ezekiel, it gives the problem with Tyre and the condemnation of Tyre. But then at the end of that section, it talks about the king of Tyre. And if you read that section about the king of Tyre, it's a direct reference to Satan. Satan is referenced there where he says, I will set my throne up above the heavens. I will be like the Most High. This is where Satan's downfall was, in his pride in his heart. That's where the sin of pride came into Satan. And so this is a description. And he's called the King of Tyre. And I think it's because Tyre was so evil. So it was almost like he was in charge of it. So the cities were bad. And the Jews knew that. And they saw that as being horrid. And those people deserve to die. They deserve to rot. But not us. And yet he says, look, it's going to be more tolerable. Again, in verse 14, he says, but it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the judgment than for you. Which means that there are those who are going to suffer more in the condemnation than others. those who have the truth set before them, those who have seen the truth of Jesus Christ, those who have recognized the message, saw the message and rejected it, are going to have a harder time in the judgment. Why? I don't know. We're never told. But I think it's probably because that truth is going to weigh on them because they had it right in front of them and they missed it. It's kind of like when you, I went deer hunting. This was back when I decided to use a bow, which was a really dumb thing for me to do. But I decided to go bow hunting. So I had the mornings I would go up above on our house on the hill, and I had a tree that I got the top off of and just looked right down onto this open place, you know. I thought, well, this is great. And I had all the deer named. I had Timothy and Silas, and there was Paul, and, you know, these little nice little racks with, you know, three or four points or 6 points. One had 8 points, but they were small, you know. And then I was sitting up there one morning, and this pretty good-sized deer came out. And there was a doe sitting, and it was 15 foot in front of me. And it was just almost like straight down, you know, 15 foot. And this doe came out there, and this buck was kind of herding her. And then a big one came out, a big one. And this thing had a rack that came up, and it hit on top. It came up and around, and I had never seen one like that. And it was big. And he came up, and all the other bucks, there was two other bucks there, and they backed off, you know. Thing came up and went and stood right square in front of me. And I'm going, oh, this is so cool. And I got my bow back, and I'm, you know, doing this. And I let her go, and it hit it right up on top of the shoulder, you know. And the thing just scampered away. Dave Randolph told me he saw that buck about 2 weeks later, still had the arrow sticking out of it. It was dumb for me to do it, all right? But I can't remember my point. What was my point? I just thought of this story, and it had a point. It really did have a point. Besides that. Okay, well, we'll go on with that, because I honestly can't remember my point. Oh, yes, that's what it was. If I had never gone bow hunting, it would have been easier than to go bow hunting and see that huge big rack and to miss it. And you know what I figured out? I didn't use my sights. It was one of those buck fever deals, you know. I just pointed and shot. I didn't use those. It has a little peep sight. I completely forgot about it. But I think back on that now, and I think, man, that was just so dumb, because I had it. I had the perfect place. It was right in front of me. So I don't ever want to go bow hunting again. That's just the way it is. I just don't like it anymore, because it was there. I had my turn, and I didn't get it. What do you think it's going to be like for these cities? Christ was there. He was in proximity. He was there wanting to come into our city, and we said, no, we don't want the problems that's going to come with all the people. We don't want, I mean, he's been talking kind of against, the Pharisees don't like him. And you know, those Pharisees are probably pretty smart guys. We don't really want to stir the pot. It's going to be huge, hard for them in the judgment. Now that I've gone off course, I can't remember where I'm at. Let's just start the next one. The final rejection. Look in verse can't get there. Got to go to 15. Verse 15. This is still the other one. This is still the future rejection. And you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? You will be brought down to Hades. You, Capernaum. Capernaum was a beautiful city. Beautiful city. And that was his adopted hometown. And they had a temple there that was magnificent. Not a temple, a synagogue. So a local congregation, a Jewish congregation that was just magnificent. And they believed themselves to be extremely religious. They believed themselves to be right with God. Because they were Jews, they had this beautiful synagogue, and they were doing things right, trying their best, seeking to follow the law. It's where Jesus spent the most time. They saw themselves as very devoted and very religious. But I want you to see the comparison here. Because he's already compared Sodom to the cities that reject him. He's already compared Sidon and Tyre and Sidon, there we go, to Chorazin and Bethsaida. And I want you to see the comparison going on, because you see he's comparing two things. I want you to see this. He says, you, Capernaum, will not be exalted to heaven, will you? In other words, they thought they had it made. They thought they had it made because they were so good. They thought they would be in heaven. But he says, you're not going to be exalted there. You will be brought down to Hades. You will be brought down. The word brought down means thrown down or taken down to Hades. All the comparisons going on here, there's a comparison here I don't want you to miss. Because the word Hades, throughout the Old Testament, sometimes was used as just a place of the dead. Whoever dies, it's Hades. It's just a place of the dead. But that's not what he's using it here for, because it's a comparison. He makes a contrast here. He says, instead of being in heaven, you'll be in Hades. We're talking about heaven or hell. Now, at the end of the time, death, according to Revelation, death and hell will be thrown in the lake of fire. So there's an ultimate place for hell, too. But you have heaven and you have hell. He says, look, you think you're going to be taken right up to heaven because of you think you're so great. But you know what? This is where you're going to be brought down into Hades, brought down to hell. Why? Why? Because they haven't taken the message that Christ has been proclaiming. They haven't accepted that message. They haven't accepted Christ as being Christ. They were still opposing him. But there was the contrast here. Jesus himself was referring to that judgment that leads to the opposite of heaven because of rejection. Well, let's look at why. What are they truly rejecting? Look at verse 16. We're talking about the final rejection here. Verse 16. He says, the one who listens to you. Now, he's gone from being talking about cities to talking about individuals here. He's talking about a singular. He says, the one. The one who listens to you listens to me. And the one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. The one who listens, the word listens here is very important, because the word listens means accept, listen and respond to, pay attention to, or obey. The one who obeys you, the one who takes this message to heart, the one who accepts it and responds to it, is the one who listens to me. This is Christ speaking. They listen to you, they're listening to me. So in other words, it's not just he was sending them out to be popular. He was sending them out with the message that they needed to hear because of his compassion. Because he wanted to see them come to himself. He says, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. I'd be willing, not willing that any should perish, but all come to repentance. This is Christ's heart. He sends them out to get them ready for him to come. Sends them with that message and sends them with power. But it's a response to the message that they were giving, that the Messiah has come, the kingdom is at hand. And when they reject it, it wasn't about the 70. They aren't rejecting the messenger. They are rejecting the true message. Now, why is it going to be worse for these cities than for Sodom and those cities? Well, because they're rejecting the truth of Christ. They're rejecting the message. Remember the Samaritans, Samaritan village? They sent disciples ahead, and the Samaritan village said, no, you guys are Jews going into Jerusalem. We don't want anything to do with you. They said, let us call fire down. And Jesus said, no, I didn't come to destroy. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. So he defeats pride with mercy, but did you notice that the people in Samaria weren't rejecting Christ? They were rejecting the Jews that had done them so wrong over the years. But here, you're talking about people who are rejecting Christ. Not just rejecting Jews, but these are Jews. But they're rejecting Jesus being the Christ. And that was a problem, because when they reject this message that the people are given, they reject Jesus himself. Look what it says. The one who rejects you rejects me. And he who rejects me rejects the one who sent me. So the final rejection is of God. it is his message of salvation. It's his message. This is God's message for us, for them, for the world. The message of salvation, that God sent his son Jesus Christ into the world to take on the sin of the world and to die for our sins and to be raised again to give us new life. He brought salvation. This is the basic gift of salvation. This is what we have. And this is what we have to give to others. Through our life, we get to show others Jesus Christ through our life. Just like Jesus sent these 70 out, he has already sent us out. He has already commissioned us to go and live out salvation. And if we have to, we can use our mouth to tell people about it. But people need to see Christ in our life. He says, those who reject you, reject me. Those who reject me, reject the one who sent me, God. These Jews, they thought they had it made because they were Jews. They thought that they were acceptable to God, and yet they were actually rejecting the truth of God because they were rejecting the message that God had sent through Jesus, through these disciples. We have the same opportunity to share this good news. We need to make sure that this message is presented well. You know, we don't present our truth to gain something. We present God's truth so that he can gain people. That's what we're doing. That's our presentation, is to present God's truth. We need to show that God does judge, because it's true. God said it. He does judge. So grab the compassion of Jesus here. Take the message of salvation to everyone. Wherever you are, live it out. Pray for laborers and then be ready. Because he said, pray for the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers. Now go. Now go, and whatever you were praying for, go, and I'll use you. And he does. It's his message. It's his truth. Don't get discouraged by rejection, because it's up to God to judge hearts, not us. Don't get discouraged when somebody rejects the message, because that's up to God. You just present the message of salvation, that Jesus Christ came. He lived, he died, he rose again. He lived a perfect life, and yet he died for our sin. He took my sin upon himself and gave me his righteousness. He said he became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He has done that. And he holds it out as a free gift to the world. He says anyone can have it. Anyone can have that relationship. The message of truth has power. Let that message live through you. Show it to others. Don't be surprised when people reject you. Don't be upset. Just keep praying. Keep praying for them and keep showing them Christ. Let's close in prayer.